from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Back at it on The Fan in New York. Turning the page now. It's August 22nd. It's Thursday. Like I said before, if you were listening 2 weeks from now, the NFL is back. That's crazy to think about. Start the football. We need it. Start the football. We need it. 888-808-1019. And we need to get through these calls because I got people like my boy Alex from 203 talking about how hard it is to get on my show. Let me go read this guy's tweet. I'll see you in the stadium tomorrow, Uncle Alex. Alex says, trying to get through to Keith McPherson is like trying to get a date with the prom queen these days. My man got a full rack of calls all night. Good stuff, bro. The prom queen? I don't know. I'm like, who won? I don't even remember who won prom queen. I don't even think about high school anymore, yo. Like, I can't remember anything from, I'm so far gone from high school stuff. Who won? In 10 guesses, I couldn't tell you who the prom king and queen were from my high school senior year. And I went to a bunch of proms. I went to junior prom, senior prom. I went to proms as somebody's date. I went to like 3 or 4 other proms. Who cares? You go to prom, I'm not worrying about king and queen. I'm worried about turning up. And where's the after party and what we're doing after prom? 888-808-1019. Let's take these calls. Young Jason and Edison back on The Fan.
Yeah, hey, Keith. Today, for the Yankees, want to get right at it. They were just overall sound. I feel like I usually do hate on Glaber for a lot of reasons. Maybe it's for not hustling or stuff like that, but half his plate appearances, at least what I've seen of the game, half his plate appearances, he's gotten on base and he's gotten hit.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I feel he produced to what maybe a couple people have wanted to see of him.
Sure.
It's not a big game, but it's a game that contributes.
A little bloop single from Gleyber Torres to start the game off, and Juan Soto comes up. He knows exactly what to do. It's 2-0 that fast.
You don't need that much. And if every single person on the team gets one hit every single game, we're probably going to win. It's that simple. We need consistency.
And work walks. Later in the fourth inning, Verdugo walks, Peraza walks, Glaber singles, mm-hmm. Juan Soto comes up and pokes the ball down the line for a 3-run double. Good stuff.
Yeah. And I also want to get my point across. The Giants. Hey, I'm headed to the Jets and Giants, the MetLife Bowl on Saturday. Yo, I'm stoked. It's going to be awesome. I've been getting some things on Malik Nabers.
Are you a Giants fan? You're a Giants fan?
Yep.
Okay.
Big one. Big, big, big one. Malik Nabers, I feel he has the explosiveness. He has, like, what he's done in LSU, what he did to help Jaden Daniels become the thing that he is right now. I feel that if Daniel Jones has access to a weapon like that, we might be able to make a playoff push. The offensive line got redone. Everything's basically reset. And if we can have a strong quarterback, a strong, and an overall strong team to get us to the playoffs, we might be able to make a push.
Now, you're segueing me into where I'm going to go in about 20 minutes or so after the 12:30 break. Thanks for the call, young Jason. Get some sleep. Good stuff on the Yankees, but now that we're on the other side, it's Thursday, we're closer. The Malik Nabers hype is starting to hit a little bit of a plateau until we get into the actual games. The initial hype of training camp, coming out and having highlight catches and touchdowns against your own team, all right. But, like, I saw reports today that he didn't have the greatest day against the Jets, and now we're talking about the Jets' defense versus the Giants. So I hear you, Jason, as far as, like, Daniel Jones having access to a weapon like that, but I've been saying this from the get-go. The wide receiver is only as good as the quarterback. The quarterback is only as good as the protection and the play calling. They have to block for him. And the right plays have to be called against the defense and executed. And I mean, a defense like the Jets can neutralize Malik Nabers. And also what I've been saying about Malik Nabers is he's a rookie. He can be a freak athlete. He might be better than Marvin Harrison Jr., but he's going to struggle as a rookie. It is not LSU versus Mississippi State. To think that he's going to be better than 95% of the receivers he's on the field with his first year in the NFL is ridiculous. And I know Loogie's leaning into his Giants fandom. The afternoon drive is like a whole Giants show. I get it. We play the Giants games on WFAN, but that's preposterous. And then you get to see him on the same field, not at the same time, as Garrett Wilson. And then Morash's take about him already being better than Garrett Wilson, that seems ridiculous as well. Garrett Wilson balled on them today. There's not a person over there that can check Garrett Wilson wearing that blue helmet with the NY on it. But they can neutralize Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers is going to get open, but will Daniel Jones have the time to drop back, read the defense, deliver the pill? Will Daniel Jones be a little gun shy? Will he be a little afraid of getting hurt? Will they be down in games where the whole world knows they have to throw the ball? It's going to be interesting to see. But like we took so much from the first 2 weeks of practice. And you know what? The consensus around Malik Nabers, everyone that has seen him so far, is like, he's really good. I just saw Kayvon Thibodeau was on the Pivot podcast. And Kayvon basically said, like, yo, I'm not going to, you know, say anybody is the best because, you know, like, it's just, well, he said something along the lines like, but that young man is very talented. No one's saying he's not talented. But, like, talented receivers get drafted into the wrong situations all the time. 888-808-1019. My guy Jonathan out in L.A. on the Fan and NY. What's up, Johnny?
Yo, what it do, my guy? Hey, bro, first things first, man, you're the voice of the people. That's why all of us young cats, I mean, I'm 34 years old. I consider myself young, but you're the voice of the people, man. You're living all of us our dream, man, working for the Yankees radio broadcast. It's dope, bro. Every time I see your stories and you're here, you're doing this, you're calling Yankee games, I'm like, man, shout out to Keith, man. He's the man, bro.
Appreciate it, bro.
But, no, it's all good, man. And also, shout out to Jason and Alex, man. That's pretty dope. Young kids calling you, like, they're into sports like that. It reminds me of myself when I was 15 years old. You know, yep. Shout out to them.
Yep.
Bro, regarding the Yanks, man, look, we're about a month and a half away till the playoffs start. I'm going to try my best, Keith, to not get mad, bro. Not get mad. I have too many gray hairs. For the age of 34, I have too many gray hairs already. I'm going to calm down, and let me tell you something. This is a crapshoot, man. The Dodgers, they need starting pitching. The Astros, I mean, well, the Astros, everyone's talking about the Astros.
Verlander's back. Here we go.
the And you know what? We want the Astros. And the
Wait. Did you just say we want the Astros?
I want the Astros, bro. Are we going to have to go all the way?
I got this in my notes. Because I heard BT talk to Justin Shackle about this, and they both said they want the Astros.
Yeah.
Let me be on record. I do not want to see the Houston Astros. Hell no. No.
Keith, I was there. I was there when we swept them in opening day.
No, I was there in the postseason. I was at the wild card game in 2015. I only could afford to go to one game in 2017. I went to all the games in 2019. I went to two of the games because we only got two games in 2022. No! No!
Jeez, you know how sweet it is going to be eliminating the Astros in six games at Yankee Stadium. You know how sweet that is going to be?
They have experience putting us away. And the Yankees have experience folding against them. I do not want to go to Minute Maid Park. Give me something else. Give me a different course. I do not trust these Yankees, to get it done against the Houston Astros. Juan Soto, maybe, but he can't do it alone. No, yeah. I do not want them. Give us the Twins. They're always a soft landing spot. Give us the Mariners. Give us the Royals. Give us the Orioles. Give us anybody. I do not want to relive the nightmare that is Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman. I'm good. Nope. Justin Verlander. No, thank you. No, sir. Go on.
All right, bro. But look, the baseball gods, they know what to do with the Yanks. But this far, I'm just going to wait till October, and I'm just going to wait, bro, that all the Yankees are healthy. If we're healthy going into October, we have a strong chance because there's not one team this year that is heavy favorites, all right? And, Keith, let me ask you one thing really quick, bro. About a month and a half ago, my son started his T-ball team. They switched his jerseys to Dodger jerseys. And I think I called you and I told you that I yanked them from the team. As soon as I found out it was Dodgers, I pulled them from the team, bro. And he knew better. He's like, yeah, Poppy, we're Yankees, right? I'm like, yeah. So guess what, Keith? He started his fall season today. And guess what team are we? We're not the Dodgers, but guess what team? Orange and black.
The Orioles?
Yes, sir, man. And
ew.
I had no choice, man.
Ew.
I know, bro. We have no choice, man. But I told him. You know what? We're the California Orioles, all right? Don't take it too far. Keith, one more thing, man. For sure, I'm going to be there either wild card or the first division game, man. And I'm going to try my best to get those Bleacher Creature seats. And I'm going to meet you, bro. And I'm going to meet all the family, Josie McFly, all the spirit guys. And I can't wait, bro. But I'm telling you, let's not try to get mad with this team, man. Love the Yankees. Thank you, bro.
Thanks for the call, John. I'm going to get mad. You know why I'm going to get mad? Because I'm in there. I'm in there watching DJ LeMahieu not step on the first base where, like, I'm like, what am I watching? I'm in there when Juan Soto gets the ball in and they don't get the out. I'm in there watching the infield defense be poor. I'm in there watching Trent Grisham not score. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in there watching Tim Mesa come out, and I'm like, why is Tim Mesa on the team? That's why I'm getting frustrated. I'm also getting frustrated because, like Jonathan said, yeah, it's wide open. But this is supposed to be a year where the Yankees are hell-bent on being a champion. This is a year where you gave up so much to get Juan Soto. At this point, like, you could be up 10 games if you didn't become a 500 team after June 1st. And you know why I also get mad? Because I don't want them to waste the historic run. Just go type in Aaron Judge and look at all the ridiculous stats that are coming up. Go type in Aaron Judge on Twitter. You can Google it. There's so many ridiculous stats coming up around this guy and what he's doing. Juan Soto's having the best season of his career. I do not want to be in October watching them in a wild card round where they get bounced in the wild card round and then have regret about, like, if they were just a little bit better in the regular season, they could have avoided all this. All right. Most multi-home run games they flashed during the broadcast. Judge has 38 for the Yankees all time. The three people in front of him, Lou Gehrig with 43, Mickey Mantle with 46, Babe Ruth with 68. He just passed Joe DiMaggio this season. I saw a stat from Barstool Hubs that he put out, and it's just funny. Like, Judge is doing things, he's like breaking the game. Hubs put out, there's so many Judge stats to describe how insane his season is. Here's one that made my brain melt from Reddit Baseball. Aaron Judge now has a higher slugging percentage at .722 than MLB's average on base plus slugging, which is .714. Like, Judge is just better than everybody. He's breaking baseball. They keep pitching to him. When you go to at bat and you look at the box score and you look at Judge's stats, it's stupid, bro. We still have a week and a half left to go in August. And Judge's numbers right now are better than MVPs for the year. He's going to continue to add to this, and he slumped all of April. I saw the Yes Network, they skewed his stats to take out April, and it's ridiculous. I don't know those numbers. But right now, he's batting .334 with 47 home runs, 117 RBI. His OPS is 1187. There's just nothing else to say about the guy. The guy's ridiculous. Let's go to Chris out in San Diego on the Fan in New York. Hello, Chris.
What's going on, Keith? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
Putting a little insight onto why Brett Gardner's not showing up, my buddy worked in food service for the clubhouse and the executive suites.
Okay.
And he claims he witnessed a blow-up by Randy Levine at Brett Gardner. Okay. And most people don't remember that Brett Gardner had a player option and then it declined to a club option, which had a $1.5 million buyout. So I think Randy Levine is the reason why Brett Gardner is MIA.
Right. I do forget how that went down, but I remember they were keeping his locker open, and I guess they didn't pick up his option.
Yeah, he had a player option. And if he declined it, went to a club option. And then if that wasn't picked up, it was a 1.5 buyout.
And so what did the Yankees do? It was only a couple years ago. Did they buy him out?
They probably paid him the 1.5. But I think it was a verbal altercation near people that between Randy and Brett.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for the call and the info, Chris. I'll take your word for it, I guess, but I can't really take your word for it. I got to look up how that happened. I forget that last year with Gardy. All I remember is there was a chance if someone got hurt, maybe they would bring in Gardy. What was that, 2021 or 2022? I think it was 2022. Because I think Gardy played in that 2021 wild card game against the Red Sox. That lineup was atrocious. Remember that? The years roll by too fast. But, yeah, I faintly remember, them kind of just letting Gardy fade into darkness. And so he probably still resents them and feels some type of way. And if there was, I'm sure there's a lot of disagreements. I'm sure as much as we go back and forth on the Yankees and we disagree about things, I bet you there's a bunch of that behind the scenes. But ultimately, decisions get made. I know there was a lot of Yankee fans who were tired of Gardner, and I felt wrong about that. I'm like, yo, this guy deserves better. He's part of the last champions. He's a leader in the clubhouse. He plays hard. Now we've got guys that got it easy off of the backs of guys like Brett Gardner. Guys like Trent Grisham get to come in here and just chill. Guys like Alex Verdugo get to come in here and be dog-ass off the backs of guys like Brett Gardner who had to, earn it every single day. Let's go to Princeton and talk to Elliot on the Fan. What's up, Elliot? You got it.
Hey, Keith, man. I go to games down here all the time. And yesterday, for the first time, my kids told me, if you go up by driving and we end up stuck in the garage, it's not going to work. So they made me take public transportation. And the whole mission was to get up there, meet Mark, do the roll call, and meet you and take a picture. And you took a picture of my twins. And it ended up being a great night. Of course, it was a heartbreaker to watch those guys roll out. But, just seeing you and seeing the way you roll out there and knowing that you go after work and watching you plug the hours in, it's an amazing thing. And I tell you, I sat in 203 for the first time, and what a great experience. Everybody was great. We had such a great time. And not bad seats, easy to get to. We had a great time. And I just want to say thank you. And I hope your career just takes off from where you're at. We love listening to you. I love listening to you late at night.
I mean, I appreciate it. I just roll up to see the gang, to see the guys, the creatures that I've known for years. And, you guys make my day. I never know. The creatures aren't taking pictures with me. They have a bunch of pictures with me from years ago. So when someone wants a picture, it's awesome. And your kids were so happy to see me. It honestly makes my day. And I think that's great that they told you not to get stuck in the garage to take the train. That's
no
smart.
More. They won't go. They won't do it anymore. They're tired of hearing Susan talking about, you'll be okay. We'll keep the first inning tight for you. you know, they this time they wanted
Speaking
to get it.
The first inning, Elliot, yesterday, that was the party. Back to back and a belly to belly on John and Susan with John. Like that, like the section was so lit for those two home runs, and then the game just turned into what it turned into.
I'm sorry, it's still a great night, and it was a great baseball for 9-10. We got to listen, you know, when kids get extra baseball, it's the best thing ever, you know? But, I guess my main topic was you talk about any profession and you watch guys roll out working at 60% of guys who are better. You see them put up LeMahieu every night, Verdugo every night, and we see it. And I know there's some guy in the back room with some number and an analytic that says this is the right thing to do, but it's just we can't watch it anymore. But this night they rebounded, and thank God for baseball letting you forget one night from the other, you know?
Yeah, that's what.
Hopefully, they stick with Austin Wells, and that'll be it. You know.
Yeah, I bet you Trevino catches Garrett Cole. Thanks for the call, Elliot. Great meeting you and your two kids. You know, it's super humbling. You don't know what you mean to people. You don't know who you reach. I put my heart into this. I put my real life into this. I put my time and energy into this. I'm exhausted a lot of times, but like I just keep going because I understand how blessed I am to have this opportunity. And you know, obviously it's my job, but the reward that I get just pulling up to the stadium doing something that I've done hundreds of times, racing to get to 203 for roll call and linking up with the OGs and just kind of trying to, you know, move through and find a spot. And I find a spot, and, you know, Elliot brings his two kids out there, and to see how happy those kids are to see me, and then, you know, how polite they are to ask for a picture. Can we get a picture? Of course you can get a picture. You can get 10 pictures. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm about to sit here and watch the game. Like, thank you for listening to my radio show. Thank you for being a fan of me because you're a fan of the Yankees, and you like how I talk about the Yankees on The Fan. Like, it's a wild reality. So thank you to everybody that I run into at the stadium. I'll see you guys in a few hours up there. I'm going to go home, I'm going to try and sleep, and I'm going to wake up and drive right back and hope that Cole has a great outing and the Yankees take the series. In New Haven, Connecticut, Abe, you got it before we go to break. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good.
I was at the game with John and Susan that two nights ago, and we were sitting in the Delta Suite, so we were right under their booth. Actually, a guy next to me threw up his T-shirt before the game, and they both signed it, which was pretty cool.
Awesome.
I try to do it, but they were already gone on air. But, you know, before the game, they're announcing the lineup. It's so deflating to not see Austin Wells in the lineup. You know, you're excited about Judge. You're excited about Soto. There's really no one else to be excited about. And then you see he's not in the game because it's a lefty. And you feel wrong about it.
You know it's wrong. It's not right.
I don't want to feel like I'm not excited about anybody else in the lineup. I think it actually speaks a lot to how great Judge and Soto is, because I think their greatness almost at times overshadows how poorly the rest of the lineup performs at times. I mean, you look at today, they're responsible for all the runs. You know, that first inning was the most exciting part of the game the other night. And then to see how many chances they had and just nobody can step up, it's really tough. I mean, like, Volpe at third with nobody out is inexcusable. And then another thing that really bothered me about the game, and I'll finish with this, is you know, you're in a tie game and Boone brings in Mays. Like, you had other arms. I just don't understand it. Like, Cleveland brought out their best stuff until they had a lead, and then they brought out the guy with the higher ERA. I don't even know his name, but Mays has a 7.7 ERA. Like,
terrible.
Why are you bringing him out in a two?
The last place team in your division got rid of the guy, and you're using him in a game against another first. I don't know, bro. I'm at the game, and I'm like, it doesn't make sense. That's why last night I'm like, I feel like I'm on punked. I feel like we're being pranked. I feel like they do things that are practical jokes on the fan base, things that we as fans would never elect to do.
Yeah, that part of Boone really frustrates me. It's almost like, and then he'll say, like, you know, our guys played good except for, like, what are you bringing in Mays in a 2-2 game against Cleveland? It makes no sense. But anyways, tonight was a good win. Hopefully they can take the series tomorrow or today.
Thanks for the call, Abe. Yeah, Tim Mays, if you go click on his numbers, right, as I was telling you, go to the At-Bat app and click on Judge's numbers, go click on Tim Mays. He should be DFA'd. He will be, because guys are coming back. He'll be the first one to go. His last seven games, he has a 27 ERA. Like, why do the Yankees always do this? Go get Hector Neris. Has anybody picked him up yet? Like, as soon as I saw they went to get Tim Mays, I knew it. I'm like, oh, there's, well, it's just him and Tim Hill. Like, and that's poor planning on your part, Brian Cashman. That's poor roster construction on your part, Eternal GM. The fact that we have to go get guys like Tim Hill, DFA'd by the last place White Sox, and Tim Mesa, DFA'd by the last place Blue Jays. Come on down. Matt Blake can fix you. Meet Mike Harkey. We'll get you right. No, you guys go and get bargain bin, clearance rack, bums off the scrap heap, and then you wonder why they turn into bums in the moments when you need them to get you through a couple outs. It's I don't know. It's obvious. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Whatever. That was two nights ago. They did what they had to do tonight. Nestor shoved. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are worth every penny. You're going to have to pay Juan Soto. Steve Cohen, just set your price. We'll see if Hal Steinbrenner will go to that level. I know Juan Soto is going to want to continue to play with Judge. I know he's going to want to continue to get that reception in Yankee Stadium, have that short porch. Hal Steinbrenner has to just match what Steve Cohen is willing to put out there. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'm going to hit you with couple things that I collected from Connor Hughes and some of these other Jets and Giants reporters. Like, if you follow the Jets and Giants reporters, they're all reporting on the same practice now. So we're starting to get some little nuggets out of Jets and Giants joint practice before the MetLife Bowl. And I'll use this last 90 minutes to talk a little bit of football as well. But if you're on hold to talk about the Yankees, we're definitely going to do that. Mets fans, feel free to join in. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. 888-808-1019. Let's talk some football. I mean, we live in this time now where Twitter, these Twitter videos that come out of practice, people can clip them and write captions and copy around them to make it seem like a bunch of different things. But what I was seeing today when I got home today, you know, I was listening to a little bit of Evan and Tiki, and I caught Evan laughing about the question that was thrown at Sauce Gardner about Daniel Jones, and he really didn't have anything to say about Daniel Jones besides he's a good quarterback. I almost picked him off, and then kind of really just like dead air. And I don't think that means that Sauce Gardner doesn't respect him as a quarterback. But Sauce Gardner is elite. Sauce Gardner is one of the best corners in the NFL. He's going into his third year. He's seen a lot. And I don't think he looks at Daniel Jones as an elite quarterback. He practices with an elite quarterback. And if you go look at these clips, yo, and this is what I was kind of leaning into before about Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're on demon time, bro. Like, if these guys, I know it's just practice, but remember a few weeks ago when people were talking about, oh, look at this video of Aaron Rodgers arguing with Garrett Wilson. I'm like, you guys never been on a football field or never been in sports. They're not arguing. They're on the same team. They're on offense together. They are trying to get to a greater level, a higher level. I'm sure what they're talking about is something that happened in a play that didn't go right. I'm sure what they're talking about is is something. I think I used an example of like maybe Garrett Wilson cut under a safety or could have been went like bend a route behind a safety, and Aaron Rodgers is telling him why to do this. And like they might be disagreeing on something, but they're not fighting. They're not arguing. There's no turmoil in the start of preseason. They're trying to get it right. This season for the Jets is everything. It means so much for Aaron Rodgers to be healthy and lead this team to the playoffs. So many people's jobs and lives are depending on it. And when you talk about the dynamic that exists here between the Jets and the Giants, there's no real rivalry here, but they do share a stadium. And I do remember last year, Aaron Rodgers talking about how the press treats the Giants versus how they treat the Jets. And what I saw was that the Jets had a chip on their shoulder today, hosting the Giants in practice. It seemed like they were trying to embarrass them. Garrett Wilson embarrassed every DB that tried to check him, tried to cover him. There's a clip of Breece Hall literally scoring a touchdown pass, catching a touchdown pass, scoring, and then his celebration is to go to Isaiah Simmons and tap his ankles. I would have swung on him, but that you can't fight. But imagine a guy scores on you, and then he touches you like that, taps your ankles. They don't want any smoke with Breece. Bro, Sauce, there's a video of Sauce just waving bye to these guys. Like, we'll see you again. Like, you're not going to see, I don't believe, the starters play this weekend. I don't think the Jets are playing their starters. I don't think they're playing Aaron Rodgers. Maybe I could be wrong. We'll see. And I do want to save some of this for my five-hour KM to AM. I'm going to probably get one of the reporters that was there on. But advantage is the Jets, and it should be. The Jets have a better roster. The Jets are playoff contenders. They have to make the playoffs. The Jets, they have aspirations of a Super Bowl. With Aaron Rodgers healthy, throwing a ball to Alan Lazard, Xavier Gibson, Breece Hall. I mean, there was a video of Tyron Smith just straight up standing up Kayvon Thibodeau, manhandling him. It wasn't close. Maybe it's just the way that they slanted these videos, but it looked like the Jets had a field day with the Giants in practice, and it was varsity versus JV. 888-808-1019. And that could be very telling. And what I've already said is if the Jets can get through the Niners, because the Niners have had a lot of issues this offseason. Trent Williams holding out, Brandon Ayuk holding in, McCaffrey hurt. A lot of different things coming out of their camp. If they can get there, here's another video of Braylon Allen trucking the Giants defense, disrespecting them. If the Jets can keep this going for the next couple weeks and go to San Francisco and beat them, they're going to be off and rolling. I'm going to be on that bandwagon. I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. I can't really be a Giants fan ever. But I used to go to Jets games. I used to tell my homies like that I would go with. Like, my phrase was always, I lean gang green. And I would wear something green to go watch Jet games. I remember us going to a Monday night football game. It was Jets-Dolphins in the rain. Geno Smith was the quarterback. It was a low scoring. It was a terrible game. We just got drunk and got on the train to go. We had tickets like 17 rows back for nothing. I remember going to some of those cheaper Jets games once the season got late and the ticket prices were low just to go to an NFL game. Only Giants game I go to is when the Dallas Cowboys are there. This football season's upon us, man. And here's a Sauce Gardner after Brownlee beats the Giants D for another long TD. So it looked like, at least what I was seeing on Twitter, that the Jets were having their way with the Giants, and they took that joint practice dead-ass serious, like they had something to prove, and Aaron Rodgers was out there slinging a 60-yard touchdown to Garrett. Like, so all the talk on the Fan, right? Tomorrow should be an interesting day. I know with the Yankees game, we're not going to get a full Evan and Tiki. And I think Tiki is getting ready for the NFL season. He's doing some stuff. But I would love to hear Tiki, Sean, and Loogie react to this practice footage, because they've come out and said all of these things about Malik Nabers and the Giants and what they're going to be. And they don't look like they're going to be on the level of the Jets. I know in the Cowboys Twitter circles, after Daniel Jones threw those two picks over the weekend, all of them brought the video up of Tiki Barber saying that he would take Daniel Jones over Dak Prescott. All of the Cowboys writers and content creators, they've had a field day with that clip. Daniel Jones is not in the stratosphere of a Dak Prescott, nor is he in the stratosphere of a Aaron Rodgers. Football is upon us, man. I cannot wait. The X's and the O's and the Jimmys and the Joes. I played a little ball back in my day. I can talk football on a deeper level than basketball, baseball, hockey. But we talk on the surface level about sports here. We don't get too deep into the sports here. We don't have the time to. 888-808-1019. I'm running out of time. I got about an hour and 9 minutes left. Let me take these calls. Dave out in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Dave?
Keith, what's going on? There is no doubt in my mind, no doubt, that Aaron Judge is the greatest home run hitter of all time. Okay? Here's a point I want to make about Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Because they're the only two guys, along with Bonds, actually, of course, they're the only three guys to hit more home runs than Judge. And, of course, they did it synthetically. Judge is the natural. They were the unnatural. So they had to solve that problem by usage of drugs. And I don't even have to say, I mean, I used to think Judge to me was like Frank Thomas. I thought Judge, you know, as far as hitting for high average, I thought if the umpires didn't ruin his strike zone, you know, ruin those calls, I think he would have been batting 310, 320 most years. I think he would have won the Triple Crown 2 years ago if it was not for the umpires. But anyway, I don't even want to get into that. All I'm saying is that you're looking at Judge here. This is Paul Bunyan, 21st century. You are looking at the most complete player, really, of all time, except for Ohtani, of course. And if Babe Ruth was here, if Mickey Mantle was here, if those guys were here, I'm quite sure they would look at Judge and they'd say, this guy's got it over us. I think they would admit it. So that's how I feel about it.
I think so, too. Great points and great conversation. I'll continue with it. Like, all the comparisons with Judge, like, nah. There are more guys throwing gas. I was just talking to my boy Eddie about the amount of pitchers. He sent me this tweet, something that, you know, you might see me working with some people on some different things as we get to October. But he sent me a tweet from J.J. Cooper. In 2008, there were 214 100-plus-mile-an-hour pitches in MLB. In 2008, plus 2009 and 2010 combined, there were over 1,796 of those 100-mile-an-hour-plus pitches. Just this year, 2024, so far, there have been 2,376 100-mile-an-hour pitches or faster. Judge is doing this in an era where guys on the regular are throwing the ball 95 to 100 miles an hour. And he's turning on those. Judge is doing this in an era where there are guys that are specifically coming in to get you out, but there's also a lot of managers that are specifically not pitching to him. Judge is doing this in an era for the New York Yankees, who have as much pressure as ever because they're in a drought. He's the captain. No, he doesn't have a captain on his seat, but everybody knows him. He's the face of baseball. He's Jordan Brand. He's the AL home run record holder. He broke that record, and he's better than he was then. Nobody says a word about Aaron Judge's toe. Nobody even mentions the health of that man's toe. That derailed him last season. I saw Max Goodman put out a stat. Judge is now the first player in MLB history to bat 375 or higher and hit 43-plus home runs over a 98-game span. He's prolific. You can't tell me anything about what this guy is doing. If you pitch to him, he's going to hit it out. He doesn't even want to take his base. In an era where guys are leaning in to pitches to get a hit by pitch, he gets grazed by a pitch and tries to play it off like he didn't get hit because he wants to hit the ball out. If he connects with the ball, it's most likely going out if he gets it up in the air. And to think that this guy struggled in April, and a lot of us thought he was hurt, a lot of people questioned his contract, a lot of people questioned his age, this guy's in his prime. And so, you know, going back to my guy Jonathan in LA, who said, I'm not going to get mad at the Yankees. I am going to get mad at the Yankees. Because Judge is in his prime and they decide to chill so much. They decide to chill at the deadline. They decide to chill with the guys that they put in the lineup. Man, stack the deck. You have a generational talent in Juan Soto and a unicorn in Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. Brian is in River Plaza. Brian, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Good to talk to you again, sir.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Real quick, a quick bone to pick with you. The Yankees are 31 games over 500. 31 games, right? How is Brian Cashman so bad?
How is he so bad?
Is that a fair question?
Well, I wouldn't say he's so bad. At the trade deadline, I think he didn't have a good trade deadline. I agree with you. As far as, you know, building out this roster, I still just like, you know, like this guy had Jamai Jones on this roster. This guy had J.D. Davis on this roster. Like that's bad. That's not good enough for the New York Yankees. And when I made the analogy about like these five-star restaurants in New York that I've been to, like they don't do bad because they can't, because they're being judged every night. The Yankees are being judged every night, and they decide to do less. They decide to try and skimp. They decide to pitch Tim Mesa. And the standard of excellence has to be better.
They should have gotten a closer. I'll say that. They definitely should have gotten a closer. 100%.
Tanner Scott is helping the Padres. I don't think you quibble too much. Say that again. Sorry.
I said, besides that, I don't think you quibble too much. But they should have got a new closer. 100%.
I can't quibble too much, but when you think about the pace that they were at the first 2 months, April and May, and then if you think about the pace they've been at since July 1st, they're playing at like a 500 pace. So, like, you know, as much as we can't be mad because they're still in first place, you can be mad because they should have a lead in first place. Clay Holmes, blown saves. Some of these bums in the lineup where it's like if you had a little bit of a better player than a DJ LeMahieu or a Trent Grisham or an Alex Verdugo.
How bad is LeMahieu? How bad is he? I mean, I feel bad for the guy, to be honest.
I feel bad for him, too, because he was one of my favorite players. I have his jersey, his player tee, his Roto-Wear shirt. Because when he came here, I'm like, this is just what the doctor ordered. We have Luke Voit. We have Gary Sanchez. We have Judge. We have Stanton. We have Greg Bird. We have home run hitters. And then we have this guy who's a slap single hitter, who's a ball in the gap, who once in a while will have some power, but he's automatic. We called him the machine because he was clutch. He was automatic with runners in scoring position. I don't know what happened to the guy. Age, father time, he's 36. He's not 32 anymore.
It's going to happen. It happens to all of us, obviously. But I also want to say real quick, too, I agree with you on this point. Any Yankees fan, I'm a Mets fan. Any Yankees fan who says they want the Astros, I mean, come on. That's like me saying I want the Braves. Okay? Like, I don't want the Braves. I want somebody else to take care of them. I don't want to see them. And it's just something that happens when the Braves show up in front of the Mets, the same as the Astros show up for the Yankees. Something goes haywire. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
You want the same bully to beat your ass again? You want the same bully?
No. After I punch him in the mouth a bunch of times, I try to punch him in the mouth. No. He keeps beating me up.
No.
I don't want to see him again.
I'm going to try my chances with somebody else.
I'm with you. 100%. And what else did we hear about the Jets-Giants practice today? How did Malik Nabers do?
So he didn't have a good day. From what I heard from Connor Hughes, he did have one nice catch for like 15 yards where he shook a defender. But like the Jets defense is good enough to neutralize him where even if they're targeting him, I don't know if they can go to him that much. I think I saw a report from Jordan Renan that the Giants offense started off good, but it wasn't like everybody was oohing and aahing with the catches that Malik Nabers was making out there against the Jets defense. I don't think he had the opportunity to just dominate them because they have a good defense.
Well, we got to tell Sean Moore actually about Garrett Wilson, though. Right?
That's what I'm saying. I can't believe these guys got on afternoon drive in this city and said those type of things about like Garrett Wilson, who's done it for a couple years. And then even I'm just like off a preseason practice for a rookie, we got to slow down. But you know what it is? They lost Saquon. They drafted this kid 6th overall. He's got to be the new dynamic, explosive playmaker. And they're already all in. They're already sold on him without seeing him play one NFL snap. They're already like, here he is.
He'll be good.
He's going to be good. Yeah. He's got big hands. He's fast. He runs good routes. But he can be as good as Daniel Jones is. He can be as good as Brian Daboll is calling plays. He can be as good as that offensive line is at blocking. Because if they're not blocking, he can run these down-the-field routes and never see the ball.
Very fair. I'm sure you've seen Daniel Jones splits with and without Saquon, right?
when you don't have that safety blanket.
It goes from B-plus quarterback to like a D-minus quarterback.
I know.
Without Saquon.
Devin Singletary is not Saquon. He's a serviceable replacement. Serviceable.
Not bad.
But like Saquon is hand him the ball 30 times a game, have the defense, right? The defense's strategy is we have to stop Saquon. So when they're gearing up to stop Saquon, Daniel Jones can run free. They're not doing that now. We can stop Devin Singletary with five guys in the box. We don't have to stack the box.
And is Daniel Jones going to run this year, too, with the ACL? Is he going to run? Because if Daniel Jones isn't running,
he ran a little bit in the last game. He has to run, but like after he takes a couple hits, is he going to be a little gun-shy? Is he going to be a little scared to run? Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. We're talking Yanks. We're talking Mets, Jets, Giants. This is a fan in New York. Call up if you'd like to join the last hour of the show. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.